So I think sometimes when people say, oh, I'm an introvert, I can't do that, I think actually what they mean is I'm shy, because I don't think being introverted or extroverted actually makes any difference.
Exactly.
Hi, and welcome to episode 135 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and hopefully get you thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
Every time I do that now, I want to say with me, Alice Sheridan. But why do I want to do that? Have I got an identity crisis? Anyway.
Every time we do it, I think of one person in the UK who reads the traffic news who says her own name in a really weird way. Now, I know it's her name and she can say it however she likes, but I always just think, how often do you say your own name? And I'm with me, Alice Sheridan. Alice Sheridan.
Anyway, everybody, here we are, whatever we're called and however we say our name. This week, we're going to talk about getting visible. But before we get into the details of that, let's just catch up with what you've been doing this week, Alice.
Oh, well, first thing, before I get into that, I just want to say that I got a little email through from Chartable, which is a thing that tracks podcast stats and everything. And it said, you have got loads of new reviews. So I went over to read them and I messaged Louise and said, you have to look at this. Honestly, it hit me on a little bit of a low day and it was absolutely lovely reading your comments about us coming back. So thank you so much to everybody who left a comment. It really, really makes a huge difference to us and it was just lovely reading them. So thank you very much.
And I didn't see that message, all those reviews. So I'm not being rude, everyone. Sorry, but thank you. I'll go have a look now.
But this week then, for me, really, it's funny, isn't it? We spoke last week about spending time with your work and I've had a kind of a little bit of an energetic shift around, and I know that this often happens. You know, I often have this sort of slightly insular hibernating doubt for work before I have to say that work is ready. Once it's on that roll of getting ready and the framing and all of that kind of thing, and I took them, I'd been doing all the painting of the framing, but I took them back to the framer to get them all fixed and taped and all the straps on the back, because like, that's really dull. And even his reaction to them was like, oh wow, you know. And
that's good.
It's just really nice to kind of feel that. So I've been feeling really sort of buoyed up and excited about getting ready for Open Studios, which will have happened by the time that you hear this. But I think because I've got to that stage of it just feeling fun and like, let's go, this is all going to happen. You know, like all the boring stuff like tidying the house will happen. It's just been fun. So I've been doing a couple of things. So one is the little small paintings that I started a while ago and then couldn't get any more panels for. 30 more panels have arrived.
Wow, good.
Yeah, so that's ready to keep going on. And I think the fact that I knew that there was going to be longevity then in that project made me kind of come back to those, and I just really enjoyed them. And I love that when you work on something small like that, it gives you little signposts as direction that you might want work to go, which for me has been a little bit about simplicity and maybe singular colors. I'm not quite sure yet. And then the other thing, which leads into our topic for the week, is I have just been having a little bit more fun with video. Helen Perry, who I've mentioned before, and I know some of you have been doing her class that she's done this week about introduction to video, I suppose. And I use video a fair bit, but I decided to kind of take the class because A, I like doing things with other people. Gives me a bit of a boost up the backside. And I just thought this is just a nice way to get reinvigorated with video again. So, you know, even after last week when I said I was busy doing frames and I just decided to have a little go with a reel, I've been doing a bit more this week and reminding myself that it can be fun and easy. And I've quite enjoyed it, even if I've missed almost all of the sessions live, but it doesn't matter.
No, you can catch up.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about online learning. People always wax lyrical about the fantasticness of in-person teaching and in-person learning, and I just can't see it because there's so many benefits to online that you can't get in person. I think it's just what you used to and what you did first, maybe, but that thing of being able to catch up later, that thing of, as the teacher, being able to see what happens to people afterwards is an amazing part of online learning. Anyway, I'm getting off topic, but I just think it's so much better in our, with our busy lives, to just be able to learn when you want to.
And I think it's just quite fun. I mean, like I say, you know, I do quite a lot. I use video apps on my phone anyway. I can do all of that stuff. But it was just it was almost a confirmation of, yeah, come on, you know, you want to do this. So do this thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge price. It's a week. You know, there were a couple of people coming in who were talking about different viewpoints on it. And I always find that even if you think you know a subject, when you listen to different people talk about it, you always pick up just one or two little nuggets. And you just think, yeah, okay, right. If I really integrate that and start using that, that's going to make a huge difference. So, you know, even as somebody who wasn't a beginner, it's been very useful. And I can see that there are some people in there who are a little bit more at beginner stage. And, you know, it's been lovely seeing them do things too. So thank you, Helen, if you're listening.
I have to do something like that when things quieten down for me, because I'd like to. I'm kind of chuckling when I see people, you know, complaining and ranting on Instagram about they've changed it to video. I mean, I don't particularly love it when my feed is full of videos. I like images, but it is what it is. That's what's happening. So you can be like the grumpy old man going, get off my lawn, I don't like this. Or you can just go, okay, that's the reality, I have to go with it. So I keep thinking I have to go with it, but at the moment I'm just up to here with knowledge. But hopefully that'll run again in the winter and I can do something like that.
I think the thing with video, and one of the things that she talked about yesterday was, I can't remember which thing it was, but it was a fashion event reporting. And she was saying, look, here's the Instagram feed, and previously it would have been still shots. And if you have a look at this feed, every image is like a 5-second video shot. It's just getting in the habit of using video. And I think we're in the habit of taking photographs, perhaps, but just using really short clips. And I think perhaps for me, and also for you, when you're used to making something that's a bit longer, like, you know, when you make a long video if you make a 15, 20 minute video for your program, it takes about, what, 4.5 hours, 5 hours, by the time you've recorded it, done everything in preparation for it, edited it, loaded it. And that's a bit like, ugh. Whereas we're talking about things you can do in 10 minutes, you know.
And it's very big now on TikTok, which, again, I have not got into using because no bandwidth. But same thing as is happening on Instagram. It's mini tutorials. That's what artists are doing on TikTok. It's not dancing to music. It's here's how to seal a panel in like the 20 seconds or whatever you get. And I can see the value of it. So, I mean, why would you want to sit for 5 minutes on YouTube watching that when you can see it in 10 seconds and get the same information? So
there's different things,
there's
aren't
a lot
there?
To it.
Yeah. And sometimes actually what you want is the container or the space of a course, so that you've got to and fro, you can ask questions, you can share with other people who are doing it, you can get, you know, answers from the person teaching it. That's a very different thing from just something that's a quick video trigger. And I think even if you're not doing tutorials, I think it's just quite a nice way to share your work. So yeah, lots to come on that, I think. Don't be scared of it.
I'm inspired.
Were you inspired by my desk tidying? That will have disappeared. I was
made to feel a bit meh by your desk tidying because you know, last week I said I'd had a big tidy up, but it never really got fully tidy, and now it's a complete nightmare again. But for me this week, one exciting thing that happened, which is going to help with being tidier, is that I have, well, fingers crossed, because with school has to approve, but I have a work experience A-level art student with me for 6 months, and it's my neighbour who is doing her A-levels, and she was going to have to do work experience in either a care home or a primary school. and neither of which she's interested in for a future career. And so I said to her dad, what if she did it with me? Is that possible? Like, would they let her do it with me? And they asked and they said, yes, as long as they do some risk assessment, which they haven't been in touch about yet. So as long as that's okay. So when I told her, honestly, she couldn't, you know, she was so excited. She was like, really? Could I do it with you? And then the best part was I said, well, at first I thought maybe I'm too busy. But then I thought, well, if I'm having a studio day, then you'll paint because that's my job. So you'll paint while I'm painting. And she went, I'll paint on work experience. So that's really exciting because I love the idea that I'm helping her to see there's this other way of having a career, which isn't go work in a care home. Not that there's anything wrong with working in a care home if that's what you want to do, but Scarlett doesn't. So there's that. That's really exciting. But also, hopefully, she can help me. The first few weeks of work experience, we are going to tackle this mess and get sorted out and hopefully make it better. So that happened. But the other thing that happened, which I was doing some painting and I had this idea to do something, to move into some new colours and or my old colours, but to go back to older colours and do something on some older paintings. And I was painting away and I made them so beautiful and so boring. Like, I just
didn't say, what's the sigh?
Because they're beautiful in, do you know when you make something that's, it's traditional, like if I'd made these paintings 4 years ago, I would have been thrilled.
Yeah.
I would have been so excited with myself. So I see that. But they're really tame and really just perfect in every way. But I'm quite excited about that because I thought, right, now I can go trash them. Now the next thing to do is to really mess these up, because the act of painting them was really helpful to me. I wanted to do something peaceful and quiet and gentle on a day that everything felt crazy. And I just decided to paint. And I think that's why they came out as they are. But I can see that they would probably sell as they are. This is the interesting part I always find about what we do. Someone would love them. They're very pretty. But I am not in any way interested in making things that are just pretty. So it's been a good week just for kind of, I suppose, checking in with myself on how much I've progressed in what I want from my art from a few years ago when I would have said, oh, look what you've done. That's fantastic. Now I just want to make them really exciting, and they're really boring. So that's what I've done this week, is I've made pretty things that I didn't want.
It's interesting how it changes though, isn't it? And how you move past a certain stage of, like you say, you know, a few years back, if you'd achieved those, you'd have been really thrilled with them. And now it's kind of not enough.
Yeah, it's like there's lovely colours, there's lovely colour shifts, there's lovely colour harmony, there's nice application of paint, thick and thin, there's some nice translucent layers, but there's just not enough. There's no little bit in the painting where you go, ooh, that's exciting. It's all just nice. It's nice. It's a nice painting.
I wonder,
it looked nice in a pastely living room.
I wonder if other people would say that if they saw them, though. Or whether this is, and I know that that's not necessarily the ultimate, you know, the ultimate thing that matters. Do you have to do that and then go over them? Can you not, you just don't want them going out in the world as they are?
There's no way it's good enough at the moment, but it has some nice things. What it needs is a few exciting little things. And I know that means I have to let loose on it without thinking. I have to, and I'll do something exciting and then it can move forward. I also did it to another one, which was on our living room wall for a while I worked out what to do. It was very exciting, very early marks, not enough depth, not enough interest. I brought it in here to put more depth and interest in, and it's stone dead. This is what we talked about last week. But it's dead. And Phil came in and he went, what happened to that painting that was in the living room? Oh, it's up on the wall. It's that one. He went, which one? That one. He went, it don't look anything like it. No, I know.
It's funny, isn't it? I was looking at one, and I was thinking, oh, I'm not sure how much I did on this. And then I found an old photo of it on my camera reel. I was like, oh, I'd forgotten it started like that.
Yeah. Well, in my case, the one, it started better than it is now. But this is what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
I can bring that back again. I have to let go of trying to make things pretty. And I fall into that trap constantly. And then I have to pull myself back. So next week will be all about trashing things when we come back. That's all what right. we're talking there about. So for our main topic, Alice suggested this topic this week, and I really think it's a really good topic. It's because it comes up constantly with the artists that we both work with. And this is the idea of getting more visible, putting yourself out there. And we want to talk about why it's important. Why does it feel so hard? And maybe a little bit about how some of the ways you might do it. But let's just, what was the inspiration for you in thinking about this idea, Alice?
I think really it was this shift that I felt this week, it's funny, isn't it? It's like, if you've been ill for a while, you don't realize that you've been ill until you're feeling better again. And then you realize quite how tired you were when you were feeling ill, or, you know, any of those things. It's only after the fact. And I feeling so different again this week made me realize that I have had a patch where I've been quite, for me, it feels like I have been quite closed off, and like I said earlier, a little bit sort of hibernating-y. And I recognize that comes with particular transition moments depending on what I'm working on, and I think sometimes we need it. But what we also need to do is to work out a way to show up during those times so that we just don't go complete radio silence. Because if we're going to be getting our work out there for people to see, going radio silence doesn't help. And it makes it harder to come back from, I think. And you don't need to do one of those big, hey, I've been missing, sorry, posts, because nobody's noticed. So don't tell them. but I just think it's just really raised my awareness again of how different it is to do and how difficult it can be to do when you're not feeling in the mood to do it, or when you're feeling a little bit more protective. And I think that that's a really important part of this. It's really easy to learn the hows and the wheres, and, you know, how do I edit things, and, you know, how to take a better photograph with natural light and all of that. But really understanding your own feelings about it, I think, makes a huge difference. And it's kind of why I no longer worry about it in quite the same way. And it's just really come up this week.
I think it's interesting as well, because you're a natural, I'm guessing, I think, extrovert. I think you're quite extroverted in your personality. You like being with other people, you enjoy company, you like doing things with other people. I've noticed a lot with introverts, which I'm very introverted, but I find social media and being visible online easier than in person, because being in with people in person sucks my energy. Introvert is not the same as shy. Introverted is I need to be on my own a lot. If I'm with other people, it takes all my energy, whereas social media doesn't. But I've learned that for many introverts, they feel like you did a few weeks ago all the time. So social media or being visible, they're in that, it's a great topic for them, for us to discuss, because they're always like that. So they're always thinking, but I don't want to show my work to people. I don't want to put my personal life on the internet or my art life. I don't want to show vulnerability. I don't want to seem boastful. There's all these different blocks people have to showing up. And yet the same people often ask me, but how do I get anyone to buy my paintings? There's no, you know, nobody wants my paintings. I've done a post on Instagram and nobody bought a painting. So it's so essential, and yet it's so difficult for so many of us to do.
Yeah, I don't think it, I mean, I think you're right. I think I you know, I am naturally quite extrovert. I don't think it helps though to give yourself a label of one thing or the other, or to make rules like, oh, it's easier for you because you're extrovert. I mean, for one thing, being in person with other people in a room and chatting to them, it can feel very different from what you might need to do online, because when you're doing it online, you know, usually there aren't other people, or if there are, if they're there, you can't see them. It's not.
Well, okay. That's why as an introvert, I love it. That's exactly. Why for me, that's exactly. Why for me it works, because I can feel, yeah, I can be sitting here talking to lots of people, but I don't see them and they don't suck all my energy up. So I think sometimes when people say, oh, I'm an introvert, I can't do that, I think actually what they mean is I'm shy or I'm insecure, because I don't think being introverted or extroverted actually makes any difference.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's an easy kind of excuse as to why you can't do it, really. And, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, if you want people to see your work, you've got to get out there and do it. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that. It's got to happen some way. So what's important is finding a way that you can do it. And I think the other thing that people often think is, oh, you know, it's okay for you, you do it easily. Well, you know, if you listen back maybe to our first podcast, and even at that point, we'd both been teaching for a while at that point. So we were used to the idea of being recorded and other people seeing and listening to it. But we were still a lot more nervous about it than we are now. Like, and we're on 130 episodes later. So, you know, you can't do two videos or two posts or whatever and think that's going to be it. You've got to keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it until you get better. But people feel that that's a struggle to do that. I think when you say that honestly to people, they think, oh, I haven't got the time or the energy to do that. Yeah. And that's why it needs a mind shift change into becoming something that is fun and that is a little bit part of your practice, that's helpful for you as well as for the people that you're sharing it with.
Yes. Yeah, when people say, oh, you're so lucky, it always reminds me of this woman I used to know who's really slim. And she said that she hated when people said, you're so lucky to be so slim. She was like, I haven't had a cream cake in 10 years and I work out every day. I am not lucky. I am just really, I really work hard at this. And it's the same thing, because I recall when we, with our other business, Phil used to keep saying, you should make some videos. You should go on YouTube and make some videos and talk about resume writing. And I was like, I am not sitting in front of a camera and making videos. I remember just the horror of the thought of my face on camera. And my face then was better because I was a lot younger. So I know the fear people have, because I've had it, and so have you. We both know that.
Yeah.
And but we also know the only way you get over it is by doing it, feeling like a fool, feeling exposed, feeling really raw and vulnerable, and then finding out that actually everybody's really nice, especially in the beginning. You only start attracting a few negative comments when you've got lots and lots and lots of followers, and it's very different then anyway. At the beginning, everyone's nice and supportive, and most people aren't watching, you realize. Mm. Most people aren't paying attention. And if they are, they're not looking at the size of your backside. They're looking at what you're doing on the canvas. Because I used to think that, they can't see the size of my backside. I have to stand at this angle. They're not bothered anyway, because they're not interested in that. So, but it's that initial hump, isn't it? How do you... You have to understand why it's so important. And as you said, I think realizing it's part of the whole deal of being a working artist is you can't expect people to buy paintings from you if they don't know anything about you and have never seen your paintings. And the only way they can learn about you and your work is to see you out there sharing it, because no one else is going to do it.
No. And this idea of, I think once you can relax into the fact that actually it's going to take time and you've got a lot of time, it's not like you've got to create one thing that's perfect. You've got lots of opportunities to show different elements. And I think that's what I'm really realizing now, is I tend to think that I've got to pack everything into one video or talk about every element of it or in every Instagram post or whatever. Excuse me. Or whatever the format is. Whereas actually, if you're just talking about just one little thing that you're showing that day. So it could be, for example, how you pack work. It could be, you know, why you choose the colours that you choose, and all of those like tiny little insights and snippets. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm. What was it?
I don't know, a motorbike or something.
Oh.
And all of those little tiny insights and snippets, over time, they layer up and people start to understand your process a little bit more, and they understand why you paint the way you paint or how the paintings exist. And it even overcomes perhaps some of the worries that they might have about buying a piece of art from you online. So those sort of posts that you see people do that include wrapping and shipping, it's not just a, hey, I've sold this, look at me, aren't I good? It's a, look, it leaves, it arrives, it gets there safely. And I think when people can actually see it happening, then it helps them feel a little bit more confident with you, because making all of these different things visible to people, you know, we see it and we understand it intrinsically so much more than if you tell me that it's going to be okay. I want yes. to see it being okay.
And also, so going into showing people you doing your work or talking about you making your work, like you said, maybe choosing colours or just showing you in progress doing a little bit of work and then saying, this is me today in the studio, that it gives a whole different insight to people into what goes into what you're making. Mm. And I found I get a lot of comments from non-artists saying, wow, I didn't realize so much went into, you know, building up those effects. Or I remember there was one person who bought a big painting and I happened to have filmed the progress and I never put it anywhere, but I had the film. So I sent it to them and said, oh, you might want to see this, because I made this film, but I never shared it with anyone. And they were so thrilled. They were so excited to see. Well, she said, oh, I didn't realize where that blue mark in the top corner is my favorite thing, and I can see where it came from. And that is fascinating for people. Whereas so often do you hear this, people say, yeah, but I haven't got anything to show people. You know, I'm really boring. I don't really have anything to say, because they think they have to have a big speech to make or a big thing. But really, what you do is fascinating to people inherently.
Yeah, it definitely comes under the category of don't overthink it, doesn't it?
Yes.
A bit. But I think having the reasons, once you can understand the reasons for doing it, that helps you overcome the hesitancy.
So what are the reasons for doing it?
Well, I think the reasons for doing it are probably going to be different for every person. So I think the real specific reasons for doing it are going to be different for every person. But in general, it's what we're talking about. If you're happy painting on your own and you like just painting, doing the paintings, enjoying the fact that you're doing them, having them around you, that's fine. Then perhaps you don't need to do any of this. But if it's important to you to have the ability to show work, to sell work, you want to have people interested, you want to build towards, you know, galleries want you to be doing this kind of thing as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if that is any part of your creative routine, it doesn't even have to be paintings, anything that you do, you've got to be creating things for people to see it. You can't just wait and go nothing, here's the finished thing. You know, you've got to be able to lead people through the story of you doing it. And that's why it's important. But sometimes it takes time. Like, in a way, like I've just said about wanting to really be shown things rather than just hear them or read them. I think you've also really got to work through what that process means a little bit for yourself, so that that helps you make your, makes your first kind of start into really understanding what it would help you to share.
What do you mean by that?
It's difficult because I don't have all the stuff in front of me, but I mean, for example, if one of the reasons for you is, one of the reasons that you paint is that, you know, you're doing it for you, it's because it has a huge love of your, the landscape around you, that's going to give you ideas for what you might include in anything that you want to share that's visible. If one of the reasons for me, for example, is to have paintings in the context of home, for people to be able to enjoy art in a home setting, so that influences the kind of images that I use to show my paintings in home. So it's going to be very, it's going to be very different, and there are lots of different touch points that you can use.
Makes sense. Yes. So like the reason I share my walks with Riley in my Instagram stories is that the landscape is my inspiration, this landscape.
Exactly.
And so when I share those stories, people often message me on stories and say, oh, wow, I see where your paintings come from. Like, I can feel it when I see this. Because if you live somewhere else in the world, my landscape, you know, is a bit of a mystery to you unless you see it. So I like stories for that. So my stories are 90% that, because it ties into what I'm painting. If I suddenly started doing portraiture, I don't think I'd share my walks with Riley every day on stories anymore, because it wouldn't make sense.
And this is where it fits in with this issue of, well, how much of my life do I have to show? Well, you show as much of your life, A, as you're comfortable with, but it is also relevant to you. So, you know, me doing that silly story of tidying my desk, in a way it's relevant, because a lot of the way that I paint is about, you know, putting it all in, it becoming a bit complex, and then, you know, simplify. And it's part of life. Like, we do it all the time anyway. You know, I'm less likely, you know, I was going to say I'm less likely to show you cooking. I have shown cooking. So there's always offshoots, but you know, that's a rare thing.
Yeah, but this idea of what we don't share is a really good one, because I think we got this question once from someone and we talked a bit about it on the podcast, but she had said, well, I don't want to tell people my personal, like my personal business is my personal business. Well, we can't tell from your Instagram or your Facebook very much about your personal life. We know from the podcast you've got a husband and two teenage children or high teens, but we don't know anything really personal about you. And that's the, you've chosen the bits that you want people to know, you've chosen. So I think people think, some people think, oh, it's, you know, I don't want everyone invading my privacy, but they're not going to, because they don't have to know what you don't want them to know. Mm. We pick and choose what we want to share with people. And it doesn't always have to be art related. Like you said, it can be fun and life related as well, but only if it's what you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah.
So you might share, you know, I might share a walk with Riley, but I'm not going to share, and I'm making this up now, by the way, I'm not going to share a massive argument with my neighbor over a fence. We don't have any fences and I haven't had an argument with my neighbor. But if I did, that's not going to go on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Or if I've got a medical scare, I'm not going to start telling you about it in my Instagram stories. That's my personal stuff and that stays for me. And so just knowing that you can pick and choose, you're in total control, in other words, of what you let people see of you. And I know in some ways that can feel a bit fake, but that's only like life in general. If you went to work in an office, you hopefully don't walk in every morning and announce to everyone everything that's going on in your personal life. You put forward a certain version of yourself. You keep other things for other people.
Yeah, I mean, Instagram gets a bad rap for that, doesn't it, with like everything being perfect. And I think that there definitely is a place for sharing when things, you know, aren't perfect. And often those are the things that get the response from people. Honestly, I can't tell you how many people emailed me back or messaged me back yesterday when I showed my box of doom, which was the paperwork that I'd sorted last time I'd cleared out my desk. Like, everybody has a box of doom. But the thing about that is, you know, I'm not putting that in my main grid. I'm putting that in my stories. Like, it doesn't have to be there for all time eternity for people to see. Quite honestly, it was a little bit of lightness in what otherwise was quite a boring day of tidying up and getting things ready. So, you know, I get things out of it as well. And I think that's what I would just... That's what I really like about this, is that people have fears about it. They're worried about it. They think too much. Once you just get started with this, it can be really good fun. And it's as much use for you as it is for all of those reasons about why you should be doing it, in terms of people seeing your work and all of that kind of stuff. And it's just nice to see when people start showing up, sharing, how much it can, you know, really bring back for them.
And it changes you. It gives you confidence. It starts to give you confidence, which starts to translate into other areas of your life. Yeah. You can't get more visible with your art and not more visible in your life. You can't do one and not the other. They just bleed into each other. And so I often get people in my membership group who will say, after a year or so of being part of the group, wow, you know, I can't believe how much I've changed. Mm-hmm. I just told this annoying person in my life no about something when I would never have said no in the past, because they've got more confident, or I just applied to an exhibition. It really does help you. And it also, you start to get positive reinforcement for your work when you start to share it. And that is really powerful.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is that it then comes back full circle again, in the sense that when all of those things start happening, I think it leads you to be bolder with your work, to be clearer about what you want, to be a little bit braver, to find your individuality. You know, that for me is why I like Instagram, because it helps me be a little bit more me. It's fun. It's not a fake version of me. It's a real version of me, but it's the good bits. It's the fun bits. It's a chance to, you know, share what I'm interested in, and the weird bits, and the, you know, why we all take photographs of flipping walls, and, you know, bits of colour. And it's lovely when you find other people who are that kind of weird and crazy and obsessive about funny things like that. And it helps you to take all of that feeling back into your work. So what I find is that there's a certain amount of, you know, bolstering and boostering and, all right, then come on, let's really go back into our work and really change the way that we want to do it. And I think it helps people's work become more individual, because that is also what gets noticed. So I just think it's a really interesting part of it, but not always an easy part of it. So it'll be interesting when Scarlett comes into to do work experience with you. You know, one of the things that she's going to see is that being a painter is not just about doing the painting.
Yes.
You know, it is about sweeping the floor, putting the books away, doing the edges, doing the admin,
doing the editing, video editing.
And you know, video editing, with all this worrying about Instagram changing things, it's just a new way of doing things. I mean, it doesn't have to be as complicated as we make it. You know, we're not talking about, like, when I first started, the only way you could get video was by getting out, you know, your really big old camera and then transferring it on image cards and all of that. You can do something now in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Really quick, and it's instant.
So now, one of the cool things that happened last year on this idea is when you did your visibility challenge, which was in your, I think the first time you did it, it was in the private group that I belong to, and we did this visibility challenge. But you're now going to make that available to anybody and everybody, I believe.
Yeah, I thought it's the first. Most of what happens in the membership is a kind of complete thing, and I want it to stay within there. But this is a really nice little bite-sized standalone thing that I think would work really well for people to be able to take together and do within a do within a group. So yeah, I've taken that element out. So if you're in the membership, I will be writing to you about how you can join in live with this. But for everybody else, they're really short. So it's 14 days of really short little prompts, but it's really practical as well. So there are things to listen to. I'm going to make you do a couple of worksheets and write things out and really get to the bottom of why this is important for you. And but it is more about it's not a complete tech how-to. We might add that in as we need it, but this first version of it, I just want to keep it really manageable for everybody to take part in, because I've seen the results and I've seen the benefit from people who have taken it. And what often happens is people start with a, okay, well, I want to know the techie stuff of which button to press, and they never do it because they've never done this work beforehand that goes into it. So it's fun, it's really easy, it's going to be a really short little thing that you can do in small chunks. And we're going to have a Facebook group so that you have got a place to practice in. That's the real thing. So when you're doing things, if you're doing videos, you don't necessarily want to make them publicly available. You can share them within the group, so you've got a space to practice and do it all together with other people. So it's called the Time to Shine Challenge, and you can find out about it if you go to my website, which is alicesheridan.com. If you go in the four artists section, there'll be a link from there, or you can go directly to the website that I have for teaching things, which isn't really a website yet. But if you go to Soul Rocket Studios, if you go to soulrocketstudio.com/shine, there will be a little place where you can add your name, and when it's ready, I will let you know. And I'm anticipating that we're going to kick off probably at the beginning of October on this. I just wanted everybody to get settled after the summer. So yeah, I hope some of you are going to come and join me and do it again live, because it'll be fun.
It was fun last time, and it was fun seeing everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, seeing everyone else make little videos or do something brave, and then find out that it wasn't so bad after all. It was really good.
Yeah, and it's not all video. It's not all video. So don't let that put you off. So come and join us and give it a go. And it really is going to be bite-sized.
So to close out this week, Alice, what's inspired you?
It has to be the US Tennis Open. Did you watch it?
I didn't.
Oh my lordy, lordy. That final. So it was, I didn't watch Wimbledon this year, but there was a young British player called Emma Raducanu, and she actually pulled out, I think it was Wimbledon fourth round. And she got a lot of grief from some of the British press for doing that. And there were lots of, oh, you know, she's not mentally strong enough, she's too, I mean, it was not nice, a lot of it. And I have not watched. I've got a friend who's been watching, and I'd seen some of his, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So she got to the final. She is the first qualifier ever to reach a final in a tournament like this, which is extraordinary. She got all the way up to the final and through the final, and she won it without dropping a single set in the entire tournament. I mean, it was extraordinary. So, and both of them, so it was Leila Fernandez, who's a Canadian player, was the who I think is 19. So there were these two, yeah, really,
they're children,
quite, really they're so quite young girls.
Yeah.
It was the most incredible tennis match. I mean, I enjoy watching tennis. I think tennis is almost one of the ultimate sports, particularly singles. You're on your own. You don't get any of that halftime chat, you know, with your teammate stuff. It's such a mental game. The physical agility is incredible. And both of them, to be honest, in that match, the way they were on a loser and then recovered it was just extraordinary to watch. and really, you know, really, really inspiring. And I think particularly having come from where she was so low and so criticized in Wimbledon. Oh, yeah. And in between time, you know, just done your A-levels and it's just extraordinary, really. So it was just a lovely, lovely. God, it was such a feel good evening. So I loved that. Just really, really enjoyed it. And I'm sure that if you didn't watch it, even if you like, I mean, if you like tennis, you probably did. So I'm preaching to the converted, but it was really, really a great match. Not that long, but she, you know, I got it cracked in two sets.
I always like tennis when I've got someone to cheer for, but I don't like very many tennis players because I don't know very many. So no. I used to love John McEnroe, and that was I was really into it then. And then I loved Andy Murray, and then he got injured. But now we've got a British woman player. I'm sure I'll get into cheering for her, but I have to have a person to cheer for. Otherwise, I'm like, I can't be bothered.
I agree with you. And it is more fun if you know all the players and you know their playing styles. And, you know, there was a time in life where I did, and then life gets busy and I didn't, which is, you know, but just sitting down and watching this without knowing anything about either of them, it was just extraordinary. Really, really good.
You know, I can remember being like 14 or something, or 13, coming home from school. My mum's watching Wimbledon and she goes, "Oh, there's this little brat playing tennis. Oh, he's awful. Oh, he's just swearing at the umpires." And I was like, "Ooh, who's this?" My mum doesn't like him and I'm a teenager, and it was John McEnroe. So then I think
he was one of the people who was giving her a really hard time.
Well, I read that today actually in The Guardian. He said he wasn't really. He said he didn't know if she had the mental strength yet because she was really young. And then he says now, "Well, I still stand by. I thought she didn't have the mental strength because she's really young. But now we know the answer is that she does, and she did brilliantly." And I think sometimes the newspapers here just take everything and blow it up, don't they?
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, I don't have too much. Oh, I've forgotten it again. I don't have anything that's inspired. I have something I've enjoyed this week and I want to recommend to people because it's really, really light and stupid. And it's a TV show. And I'm sorry, everybody outside the UK, because it's on iPlayer. It's a BBC show called This Is My House. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, so much fun. So four people, they go to a house somewhere in Britain, and then four people say, "I'm Alice Sheridan and this is my house." And they all are different people. And then a panel of celebrities have to guess whose house it really is. And they go through questioning them and getting them to do a tour of the house and go around the neighborhood. And you have to guess which is the real Alice Sheridan. So there's Alice number one, Alice number two, Alice number three, and Alice number four. And it's really good fun. And I just love anything where you have to play detective. And I'm quite good at, like, when they first come out, going, "Oh, it's her." Like, I know which one looks like they belong with that house. And mostly I'm right, but occasionally I'm wrong. Anyway, it's really good fun. It's called This Is My House. And I don't really like those kind of shows, but it's just really, it's fun.
How many variations of being nosy about people's houses?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. The houses, some of them are spectacular. And so it's really nice. Some of them are ordinary and some of them are really beautiful. But yeah.
You've reminded me, actually, I'm just going to recommend something else that we watched last night. We were watching Vigil. Have you been watching Vigil?
No, my friend just asked me. I said I should watch it.
So Vigil, I think it's written by the person who likes Line of Duty, which
it is.
It's not quite as addictive or as enjoyable, perhaps, as of Line of Duty. And it's in a submarine and it's all a bit kind of tense and makes me feel very claustrophobic. But anyway, we were watching that. And then because it's on BBC iPlayer, it rolled onto a series called The Cleaner, which has got...
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yes,
it's so good.
It's got Greg Davis in it, he's really big comedian, and we've only watched the first episode. So the setting is, you know, it starts with him in a kitchen and there's blood everywhere and it's all over the floor, and like he's the, you know, the crime scene cleaner who's got to come in, but really all he wants to do is leave and go to curry night. And it just gets a little bit more and more ridiculous, and then eventually the person who'd done the murdering comes back in, and it's Helena Bonham Carter. And honestly, they were both fantastic. And I said to Paul halfway through this, I said, "This is so kind of silly. This would be so easy not to carry off." Like at one point, she's trying to hold him hostage with a gun, and then she shuts him in the bathroom, and then she needs the loo, and she's sitting on the loo with, you know, her knickers round her ankles, and you just go, this is just so ridiculously extreme. And it's somebody's job to have chosen those knickers. But she is hysterical, honestly, really, yeah, really funny. Have you watched more than the first episode?
Yes, we accidentally watched the last one as well in the wrong order. So yeah. I've seen two episodes, and the last one was just as good as the first one. Oh. So I can't wait to watch the others. It's really good.
Yeah, well, that's really good. So I just have high hopes, and I'm just recommending it because it's short.
Yeah, it's a different star each time with him.
Yeah.
So that, and I like that idea. I like when they change things up and you get different. You don't get the same thing. It's nice sometimes. So yeah.
So each one is a little self-contained thing, is it?
Yeah. Little play. Yeah. With him as the cleaner always doing the same thing.
Yeah. And it just makes a change sometimes from lots of these dramas that go on and on and on. Like we're watching series 5 of Heist, which is the Spanish one, which is very good. But it's like, oh, it goes on a bit.
I'm on season 9 of Grey's Anatomy now. I think there's 17 or something.
For two people who don't watch a lot of telly, that's quite a lot of telly recommendations.
I know, yeah, that's true. But that's it, that's all we've watched. So right, well, how do we want to end this? I'll just send people back to your thing again. So it's, what's the website again? soulrocketstudio.com/shine.
Yeah.
So that's it for us.
This my website. If they can't remember that, they can just go to my website and there'll be a link.
That might be easier. We'll just say that. Which is alicesheridan.com. You don't have to do art in yours, do you? So that's it for us this week, everybody. But if you want to take part in Alice's Time to Shine challenge, then you can find the link on her website at alicesheridan.com. And we will be back next week with more honest, generous, and humorous conversations that will hopefully feed your soul and get you thinking. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.